Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. Two F-35 fighter jets arrived at Eielson Air Force Base yesterday, the first of 54 to be located at the interior installation. KUAC's Tim Ellis reports.
The two F-35As touched down around 3:45 p.m. to cheers and applause from small crowds that had gathered on the flight line, including Colonel Ben Bishop, who commands Eielson's 354th Fighter Wing.
It is a historic day for the 354th Fighter Wing and for the Fairbanks North Star Borough community as a whole.
Bishop told KTVF News that a couple of F-16s from Eielson met the newer fighters en route and showed them the way to their new home in the interior.
They escorted and formally welcomed our F-35s to the skies of Alaska.
Bishop said in a webcast interview that the new fighter's arrival marks an historic occasion, signifying the transformation of Eielson's mission from one that mainly focuses on training to one in which the two F-35 squadrons will stand ready to respond to real-world threats anywhere within the Indo-Pacific region, which includes the Pacific and Indian Oceans and much of Asia.
And with these F-35s, we're going to be charged to project air power in support of worldwide operations and to support a free and open Indo-Pacific.
Senator Dan Sullivan says the F-35s, along with other so-called fifth-generation fighters stationed at Joint Base Elmendorf-Richardson, will combine to make Alaska a key hub of U.S. air power.
With these F-35s coming and the F-22s that we have down at J-Bear, is going to have over 100 fifth-generation fighters. No place on the planet Earth will have that kind of fifth-gen firepower than our state.
That won't go unnoticed by our enemies, says Lieutenant General David Crum. He's the new head of the North American Aerospace Command's Alaska region and commander of both the Hawaii-based Pacific Air Forces and the J-Bear-based Alaskan Command.
I will tell you that we will make our adversaries tremble with what these airplanes can do.
But first, the remaining 52 F-35s, along with some 1,300 pilots and other active duty personnel to maintain the planes, must get settled in at Eielson. The two new squadrons are expected to draw another 3,300 people to the area. Those include family members of the new personnel, along with additional federal employees and contractors. With help from Dan Bross, I'm Tim Ellis in Delta Junction.
The state of Alaska announced 8 new COVID-19 cases yesterday. The cases confirmed Monday include 4 in Anchorage, 2 in Juneau, and 1 each in Ketchikan and Eagle River. With Alaska's case count remaining low and the healthcare system beefed up to respond, the state plans to begin reopening the economy. Speaking during a nightly COVID press conference, Governor Mike Dunleavy said the state is trying to balance public and economic health.
For those that have been chomping at the bit to get things open and moving, we're heading there. For those that are still very concerned, and rightfully so, we can assure you that we are going to continue to use the best practices.
The governor introduced phase one of a 5-phase reopening plan. Dunleavy said it begins Friday and allows hair salons and other personal care businesses, as well as dine-in restaurants, retail stores, and professional services to open under specific operational guidelines.
So, for example, when we go through this process, if you are a hairdresser and you have questions as to, well, what do I need to do in my hairdressing venue? What do I need to wear? How do I need to space things out? Can people just walk in, or do we do reservations and appointments? We'll have all that laid out.
Governor Dunleavy said the detailed plan will be published on the state website today, and the administration expects a lot of questions.
If you are a business owner and you're not sure what category your business falls in or what phase your business falls in, you can go to our website. You can post questions, you can look, we'll get back to you as soon as possible.
Department of Health and Social Services Commissioner Adam Crum followed up by going through specific rules for various sectors, noting that entertainment businesses like bars and movie theaters will remain closed under Phase 1. Crum says the many other non-essential businesses being allowed to open can only do so with safeguards.
They're going to be capped at capacity, somewhere around 25% occupancy or capacity. Social distancing is always going to come into play, whether that's 6-foot or 10-foot, depending upon the activity and where you're at.
Also under phase one, with the season changing, Crum said fishing charters and outdoor recreation classes will be able to operate under specific guidelines, And more generally, the state is expanding the number of people who can gather.
Groups of less than 20 people of non-household members can get together. It's going to open up opportunities for religious services, funerals, and weddings as well.
Commissioner Crum emphasized that the state is working with city and borough governments on the reopen plan, which communities can modify to suit their situation. Crum said phase two will be rolled out next week, expanding the number of businesses which can operate and how. Commissioner Crum also announced the extension of public health mandates requiring social distancing, quarantine after outside travel, and limiting non-essential in-state travel. Governor Dunleavy announced that the state has received $1.25 billion in federal CARES Act coronavirus recovery funds and a plan to distribute them to businesses, communities, and other priorities. About 30 proposals for inventions to help with Alaska's COVID-19 pandemic response have come into the University of Alaska Fairbanks. Last month, as the disease spread in the state, the university's Center for Innovation, Commercialization, and Entrepreneurship put out a call to staff and students for ideas. KUEC's Robin reports.
Mark Billingsley is a patent attorney for the university. The Center for Innovation, Commercialization, and Entrepreneurship goes by the short name Center ICE, or Center ICE. This call for proposals is designed to support immediate action.
Most of the proposals were related to science, engineering, and technology, a few related to the modeling of the virus, and there were a couple in the arts.
Billingsley was happy that so many proposals came in, and he wishes he could fund them all. The money is coming from the Office of Naval Research, which wants to move fast to respond to COVID-19. Already, university engineers are working on four of the projects: a device for handling a patient's exhalation, 3D printing of respirator parts, a data tool to identify community risk factors for COVID-19, and an ultraviolet sterilizer for medical personal protective equipment. That UV sterilizer may be ready to ramp up in a week or two. And while the rest of the proposals are waiting for funding, university researchers have already solved some problems with PPE shortages in the interior. Dwayne Broderson says a group at the local hospital had some protective hoods they needed but couldn't use because they didn't fit their new equipment. These positive air pressure respirators, or PAPR, seal off the user and pipe in filtered air. Broderson says UAF researchers came together with engineers and machine shop staff to create a fix.
They needed an adapter to go from their new style to their old style hood. So we were able to have one person design and model a thing, another one tweak and optimize it for printing, and then a team of people just immediately manufacture the necessary adapters so that within that week access that hood inventory.
After the UAF team made adapters for the hospital PAPRs, the Fairbanks Fire Department connected with the team to solve another PAPR problem. Gwen Holdman from the Alaska Center for Energy and Power says the university has also been working on a hand sanitizer and other PPE to distribute at Fairbanks Memorial Hospital.
The hospital is pretty open to working with us. Tell us where what we are doing is not meeting a need that you have or we're on the wrong track. And they've been really good about giving us that feedback.
We've been needs-driven, responding to what the community is asking for. It's really important with our limited time and resources that what we're doing is very tightly aligned with the actual needs on the ground.
Billingsley says the university departments are used to collaborating, but the payoff has never been so immediate as these projects to respond to the pandemic. Holdman says the collaboration is also wrapping in local businesses.
Trying to take advantage of all this amazing brain power and resources at the university. So it is a pretty multidimensional, multifaceted effort, which is pretty exciting.
Amanda Bird, also from ASEP, says she's tracking the story of these fast collaborations.
Watching this team jump on these needs and create these technologies to make not only Alaska or Fairbanks-based innovations, but these could be innovations used worldwide.
In Fairbanks, I'm Robin.
And I'm Dan Bross.